When I was a young man, I'd look around at old people and wonder how they got that way. And now that I'm an old people, kind of know. And I think young and old alike can look forward to that land where we never grow old and appreciate what that'll mean very much. Appreciate that song. Thank you for being here tonight. We're glad to be together to worship our God and to study His Word now for a while. And I'd like to talk this evening about a labor of love. When someone really enjoys doing something, and in fact they're willing to work hard at it, maybe for little or no compensation, we often call that a labor of love. Here's something somebody really, really likes to do. Maybe it's cooking food for people or gardening or whatever it might be. And it's their love. And they enjoy doing it, even though it may be hard, even though it may cost them, even though they may have to sacrifice in order to accomplish it. The phrase labor of love probably originates in our New Testaments. It's found in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll point out the verse in Hebrews to you first and just read it to you. It says in Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward His name in that you ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, some of your translations may not have labor of love in that particular verse. It's found in the King James, the New King James, I think, but maybe not in some of the other translations. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." We notice in this passage that you have faith, hope, and love. These three great things that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. That's another lesson. What I want you to notice, though, is that phrase, labor of love. There is often a connection between the degree of love we have for something or someone and labor that is well done and effective. In Christ, it doesn't matter how capable we are. It doesn't matter how well achieved we might be in this world, what our worldly status is. The way Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 is like this. He says, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Love works. Love labors. Love motivates us to work and labor. These are some of the basic concepts that we'll be dealing with tonight in this lesson. I want to notice with you this phrase, especially as it occurs here in 1 Thessalonians 1. So we think about the labor of love, and I want to notice with you that love motivates a sacrificial labor. You ever thought about the difference between work and labor? You may say, "Well, I didn't know there was a difference." There is. And in fact, the two English words that we have in 1 Thessalonians 1 are a reflection of two different Greek words that we have in the original text. The word work is translated from a Greek word ergos, and it simply means the act of doing something. It's action. It could be something that's easy and pleasant to do, something that's very enjoyable to do. But basically, where it says the work of faith, it's just the action, really, of faith, is what that's referring to. On the other hand, the word labor comes from the Greek word kopos, which indicates toil that results in weariness or pain or difficulty. So while work is just doing something, labor is painful. Labor is stressful. Labor may be sacrificial. Labor is difficult. R.C. Trench, who has written some really good works on Bible languages and definition of words, comments on this particular word that it's not so much the actual exertion which a man makes, but the weariness which follows on his straining of all his powers to the utmost. In other words, labor is a word that when you lay it down beside work, and I realize they're synonyms and sometimes they can be used in place of one another, but where there's a distinction between the words, labor is focused on somebody just giving his utmost, straining with everything that he's got. And what I'm telling you right now as we think about this phrase, labor of love, is that love motivates us to give everything we've got, every ounce of our powers, every bit of what's in us to some task. And in fact, that task may require everything that's in us. It may take all that we've got to accomplish it. But love takes no account of that. It doesn't matter what it takes to accomplish whatever it is. So faith is something that is active. But love is something that labors. Faith motivates action. Love motivates labor. That's the implication, I believe, of this passage. Of course, we can think about passages like James chapter 2, verses 20 and verse 26, which both say that faith without works is dead. Faith, if it's alive, is going to motivate works. Love, if it's alive, is going to motivate labor. It's going to motivate us giving all that we've got. And the rest of what's said there in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3 is basically what that produces is not only a one-time effort of giving all that you've got, but a patient endurance as we look to our hope, to what we expect and desire to achieve or receive. We continue to do that. Love endures or is patient in hope, is the way the rest of that passage reads. It's not simply patient in its ability to wait calmly for something to happen. You know, a fisherman stands by the shore and waits for the fish to bite. Someone said that's a jerk on one end of the line waiting for a jerk on the other end of the line. I don't know that that's a great way to describe it, but we think about that as that's there's patience. You have to be patient to be a fisherman. That's not the kind of patience that's being talked about here. Patience being talked about here is an active thing. It's an enduring, it's a bearing up under with a lot of fortitude. Whatever trials and tribulations result from our faithful, loving obedience to God, they will be endured. Labor, the word labor, is a word that is, the original word, kopos, is used elsewhere in the New Testament a number of times, and sometimes translated in different ways. And I want to share a couple of those with you. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 10, you'll remember a woman anointed Jesus with a very costly ointment. People complained about it. Jesus became aware of it and he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me." Now, what you may be interested to know is that word trouble, as it's translated in the New King James Version, is the same word that's translated labor there in 1 Thessalonians and Hebrews 6:10. So, that's an interesting translation, isn't it? You're putting stress on this woman. You're causing trouble for this woman. You're causing difficulty for this woman. Those are all good translations of that word. Because labor is something that's stressful. Causes you difficulty, as we've already said. And you see a similar usage of this same original Greek word in Luke chapter 11 and verse 7. And this is the story of the friend that comes at midnight. You remember the story, Jesus is talking about praying and praying persistently. The man comes at midnight and raps on the door and is trying to get some food to give a guest that has come. And the man answers from inside and he says, "Do not trouble me." Now I'm in bed, my kids are in bed, you're causing me grief here. you're stressing me. Do not trouble me. That's the same word that's translated labor over in 1 Thessalonians and Hebrews 6. So I hope we're getting the concept here that a labor of love is something that if you take away the love, it might be bothersome. It might be painful. It might be troublesome. It might be stressful. But because love is injected into the formula, it isn't. Love focuses more on why something must be done than on what it will take to do it. In fact, it doesn't matter what it will take to do it. Whatever it takes, love will try to accomplish it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What's it going to take? God, what's it going to take to pay the price for man's sins? To redeem mankind? God so loved the world that it didn't matter what it took. That He gave His only begotten Son. That's the labor of love. When we talk about a labor of love, then, we're talking about something that may cost us a lot, but because of the love, it doesn't matter. You remember in the Old Testament, Jacob, as we say, you know, here in the South, bless his heart, worked 7 years for one wife and then 7 years for another one. But the text says after he finished the first 7 years that he served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days for him because of the love he had for her. Didn't matter. 7 years. Seemed only a few days because of the love he had for her. Love motivates sacrificial labor, and it doesn't count the sacrifice. Love motivates beneficial labor. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, the apostle says, "You brethren have been called to liberty. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." We're talking this year and focusing this year at Eastside on serving one another, serving God by serving each other. And this lesson tonight fits right along in that theme, as I hope that we'll come to understand that it's our love for God and especially our love for one another that will motivate this kind of service. And that we will be willing to do whatever it takes to serve one another. Through love, Paul says, serve one another. That should be our motivation to be servants of one another. Paul left a great example for us in his personal life. Of course, he says, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And he was a great imitator of Christ in this way. He was willing to sacrifice himself so that he could help others with material goods. Look over with me at something he says to the Ephesian elders there in Acts chapter 20. Down about verse 32. He says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." So Paul is willing to, he doesn't want to take from people, even though here he is a traveling evangelist, very hard no doubt to support himself while on the road, yet he's constantly going from place to place and working with his hands so that he can support himself and so that he can have to give to help others. I think about all of the tremendous work that this apostle did, all of the preaching that he did, all of the pain and grief and anguish that he went through. And on top of that, you add to this his willingness to labor physically so that he'd have something to give to others, to help those who are weak, to help those who are poor. What a wonderful example that is of a labor of love. Paul mentions this not to brag, not to put himself out as something special, but as an example and as an indication of his sincerity as an apostle. He mentions this more than one time. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, where he says, "You remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach the gospel of God." He's working and working hard, laboring to be able to preach the gospel of God. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8, he says, "Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." So Paul is willing to work physically to gain material things for his benefit so that he won't be a burden to others, and also so that he can help others out and serve them. But more significantly, Paul is, if we could say maybe this is somewhat of a metaphorical use of the word labor, but he's laboring in his preaching. Look over at Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. In that passage, the apostle is talking about preaching Christ, about his efforts in preaching Jesus. And he says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor." I am giving this, what do we say about labor? It's you give it all that you've got. I can say that as a gospel preacher, I have disappointed myself and my Lord at times in the past with the degree of effort I put into some sermons that I preached. And I say that asking forgiveness from God. But I can tell you this, in the last couple of years, I have decided firmly that I'm not going to preach a lesson that I don't put all myself into. And I'm not near, I'm sure, where the Apostle Paul is. My intention is to labor, to put everything I have got into every sermon that's preached, every class that's taught. Realizing that the power is not in me, it's in the gospel. But I'm going to give it my best effort. And I can see Paul saying this. This is what he is doing continually. Wish I had that commitment long ago. He says, "I labor," and the next word in the verse in the New King James Version is, "I labor striving." Striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So you have two words right next to each other. The first one is labor, which we've talked about extensively now, and I think you get an idea that it really means sacrifice, putting yourself wholly into something. And the second word is striving, and I know I've talked a little bit more about Greek tonight than I usually do, but this is an interesting word to me. The Greek word is agonizomai, and we get our word agonize from that word. And Paul is really saying, I am giving everything I've got. In fact, I am agonizing in my efforts to preach the gospel. That is a labor of love. That doesn't apply just to preachers. You understand, we're talking about how you share the gospel with your friends and neighbors. How you study the Bible with brothers and sisters here at Eastside. How can we be lackadaisical in our approach to our Bible classes? Whether or not we get our lesson prepared, whether or not we study ahead of time, whether or not as teachers we prepare fully. How can we be that way if we're motivated out of love? Paul says, I'm striving and I'm agonizing to share the gospel. And if we are serving one another in love, in these spiritual matters, how can we give it any less than our very best to labor and strive? As teachers preparing material and delivering that material, as students trying to gain information, learning and growing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how can we give that any less than our best? Because you see, love not only motivates labor that is beneficial, it motivates diligent labor. A continuing on. Go back now to Hebrews chapter 6 with me. One of the two verses where this phrase is used, at least in the King James and New King James versions. Now let me read it again. Hebrews 6 verses 10 through 12 now. to pick up the remainder of the context. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward His name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There are a number of things we need to point out about this verse. He's talking about a labor of love, and the labor of love that he's talking about is serving other Christians. The word he uses is minister. You do minister to the saints. The word minister means to serve. What's our theme? Being servants of one another. Serving God by serving one another. That's what he's talking about in this passage. And they do it out of what? What does he say? It's a work and labor of love. There's your motivation. There's your motivation. But notice the diligence. He says, you've done it, you continue to do it, guess what? You need to keep on doing it. Look at the kinds of words that he uses. Show the same diligence. Same diligence. That's what you've done before, what you're doing now, same diligence. You keep on doing that. All the way, the next phrase, until the end. All the way to full assurance of hope until the end. And don't become sluggish at all. Don't become haphazard or lackadaisical in your efforts. Give it everything you've got all of the time, this business of ministering to the saints. Just like those who through faith and patience, again, there's that, it's not fishing patience. It's in endurance. It's being willing to persevere. Love motivates diligent labor. Paul will write to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Through love, serve one another, he'd said earlier to the Galatians. And keep on doing it, is what he's saying there. Love motivates labor. And as love increases, the labor of love will increase as well. I believe that with all of my heart. Bottom line, the key as we focus on being servants of one another this year here at Eastside and living that out in our lives and putting it into practice, you know, I could preach two lessons every Sunday on that. We could have all the Bible classes teaching on that. But nothing is going to change and we'll not be any better servants of the Lord or of one another until our love increases. It's the motivation that's the key. And when we love each other like we ought to love each other, service is a natural outgrowth of that. And the more we love, the more service we'll be happy to perform. It seems to me that in passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. Increase and abound in love to one another. And Paul is not talking about there just the feeling in the heart, just the desire for someone's best good, but the putting that into practice. Love that labors. Later on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he says, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Someone may say, well, I think we at Eastside are, you know, we love each other. We love each other a lot. Folks are all the time serving one another. And that's been my observation. I feel like there's a lot of love in this congregation, a lot of willingness to serve. That doesn't mean it's all it could be. I think Paul could write to us what he wrote to the Thessalonians, don't you? That we love each other and we love others. But we can increase more and more. I thank you for your kind attention to these thoughts tonight from Scripture. This is the kind of lesson you have to meditate on. You have to let it come into your heart. And then you have to make the application. You have to think about how much you love others and how you're going to allow that to change you in the way you serve your God and the way you serve others. In reality, we talk about the preacher making applications, and I can point out ways that things can be applied, but really you're the one that makes the application of any lesson, but particularly one like this. I just want to leave you with what the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. Let all that you do be done with love. When everything you do is done in love, you will labor mightily to accomplish it. Whatever it takes is what you'll get. Let all that you do be done in love. Tonight, that's God's love for you. There was no cost that was too great to be paid for your soul. God so loved you. He wants you to love Him back. And if you do, and you're willing to confess His name and receive the wonderful gift of salvation through His Son, you can come forward right now. Confess the name of Jesus as Lord, Savior, Son of God. Turn away from your sins and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Most of us here tonight have already done that. It could be that I'm talking to someone who realizes that you've not been living a life of love. One measure of that is how much you're willing to labor. And if you've not been willing to labor, you've not been living a life of love. What about you? If you're in need, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.